So you need to do that with one hump in the other, and then in the next frame, have one of them holding an AT-ST, like a little baby.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe, robotic warriors.
Who's up to here? Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us as Weird Wolf, Insane Galvatron, Cyburn 2, God Convoy, Mirai Baby, Natsume Ryu, and Plasticon Reviews discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that corner stop? Ratchet, can you take the corner stop?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 78, recorded January 7th, 2014. I am Weird Wolf. Along with me on a full crew tonight is Cyburn 2.
What's up, everybody?
Megamus.
What's happening?
I am Unicron.
Hello, everyone.
And Mirai Baby.
Woo!
Hope everybody's having a good week. Everything's sub-zero in this area. I think our high, our high today was like 10, I believe. I was looking at my phone a while ago.
A low of -7.
Actually, no, we creeped up to 14 today. But whenever I got up this morning, it was like -3. So, yeah.
I love living in a tropical desert.
Yeah. Just keep
it
on
talking. It was 74 today.
It's like everybody hates Southern California and Florida today.
It was 74 today. I did not have to wear a jacket. I was so happy.
I had to go to a chiropractor this morning, and I put on like 3 layers of clothes.
Oh God.
I hate that. Oh. But, so anything new in anybody, going on with anybody? Anything exciting or just same old, same old?
Yeah. Actually,
yeah,
I got 3 things hitting me all at once. I have an apartment offer for $510 for a 1-bedroom apartment. So I'm working on that whole moving out and thinking about different things and stuff like that. So that's kind of fun, and working also in the process of buying a car. I don't qualify for much because I have no credit, but hey.
No credit is just as bad as bad credit, seems like. That's true.
But hey, I have no credit, so I don't really qualify for much, but I'm trying because I need this car, and I just applied for a job at Geico because to just sit there and answer phones and talk to people and stuff like that is it pays about double what I'm making now.
Oh, I hope so.
See, $16.25 is way better than $8.75.
Ouch! Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like with me. You know, hopefully, if I can find something really soon, like I was saying in the pre-show, you know, if I don't find something in the next month and a half, I'm going to be homeless, and I'm really, really nervous. Right now my best prospects are getting on through a temp agency, and the thing is temp agencies, all the temp agencies I've talked to, because here I'm almost 40 years old, and all of them tell me I'm either overqualified or have too much experience, or you know, or some combination of both. And
how do you have too much experience for a job? I have never
because
understood
that. They're temp agencies. They basically, their job is to hire people that are grunts to go in and do menial labor at factories.
Oh, true. Okay.
And you know, I mean, I've got sales experience. I've got manufacturing experience. I have shipping and handling experience with you know, driving trucks and unloading and you know, so I've got all kinds of experience, and they don't want to have to pay me for that. You know, and
point. Okay.
And at this point right now, if I find something, I'm going to probably get paid half hourly what I was making before. You know, I mean, I'm going from like a grand a week before the accident to probably making whatever a month, a week, and it's really scary. So, but enough of the humdrum.
Good luck to you, man.
Yeah. Well, what's making it worse is I'm still sick with this bronchitis or whatever I have, and with this, the temperatures the way they are, I can't get out and go look for stuff because, you know, I don't want to get my lungs more infected or, you know, worse than they already are. So, yeah. But I've got my resume in at a few places, and I've got a LinkedIn profile set up and got my resume up on there. And I've got a interview with a temp agency tomorrow. So hopefully something will come about in the next week or so, and I can get some kind of ball rolling, and I've got some pension money that I have available from my job at Pepsi a couple years ago. So you know, I want to try to draw some of that, but they're really slow with how they do things, so I might not get it in time, and that's another thing that's getting me worried. And you know, I called them like early last month, and they're like, "Oh yeah, yeah, we'll get it to you." And then this month, you know, here it is, middle of January already, and I've got nothing. So,
yeah.
But anyway, that's too much off topic. Let's head into the Ouch My Wallet, and we'll kick it off there. Ouch My Wallet is brought to you by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com. Also want to remind people that we are still running the KFC Iron Paw, the Justice Iron Paw, for our 100th YouTube subscriber. We have now broken 80 subscribers, and we're well on our way. So once we get to our 100th subscriber, we'll go and pick one single lucky winner who has subscribed to our YouTube channel, joined our Facebook group, and shared us on social media or in their SIG on a message board. And if you've done all three of those things, then you will win Justice Iron Paw, which is approximately a $30 value if you factor in shipping. So it's an awesome, awesome little freebie deal. And all you have to do is subscribe and share. And it's not that hard. And but I do want to state that it is open to people in the United States, the UK, and Canada only. Outside of that, its shipping is a little bit iffy, so we're going to just hold it to those three areas. But it's really awesome, and just subscribe. That is the most important thing you can do on our YouTube channel. We're trying to build our YouTube channel since we started it back in June, trying to grow the brand a little bit. I know it's a little hard since we aren't backed really by any large websites and we're just off on our own, but I think we're doing really well, and we've got an awesome cast here, and we've got awesome shows, and we hope that everyone enjoys TFYLP. And spread the word. If you like our show, tell other trans fans about it. You know, tell them about it on message boards, on Twitter, Facebook, wherever you post and talk about Transformers. Spread the word about TFYLP. So let's talk about what we got this week. Sideburn, I guess you're the first one on the screen here. You pick up anything this past week?
Hey, yesterday we got lucky at my Walmart and found
You got lucky at Walmart?
Yeah.
No, my God.
Giggity, wow. Giggity. He has no comeback. He has no comeback.
I'm just thinking about the very strange people that work at my Walmart. So yeah, found this guy, Generation Skids.
Well, speaking of skid marks,
Teron. And,
Thanks for burning rubber.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I've always, you know, back when I was a kid and I first got on the internet and found out about the rest of Transformers, which at the time was just Beast Wars and G1, Skids was always a character that caught my eye as as a toy, and I always wanted one, but I never, I didn't have any money when he was reissued, and never found the Alternators version, so I definitely had to get this version because, well, he's just loaded with weapons.
Oh,
Having fun with the hot glue.
Words from our resident cosplayer.
Sorry. I'm building a robot. Sorry.
So, he was the other one in the wave I really wanted to get. Him and Waspinator. And I'm glad I picked him up. He's not flawless by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm going to point this out because someone on our Facebook group pointed out to me that his hips are on the wrong leg. So if you pop him off the ball joint and you pop him out of the swivel and swap legs and pop him back on, the design is the same on both sides, so it doesn't mess with the look of it, and it actually gives him more poseability up and down. Still doesn't help that his feet aren't very stable. So he's not, he's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I still think he's really cool. That's all I got.
He's a really awesome figure. I know he gets a lot of knocks, and I totally agree. He's not the best figure there ever was, but I think he really pulls off the mass shifting really well. How he's generally kind of tall for the new generation's deluxes, but whenever you turn him into car mode, he's small. I think he does that really well. It's just my opinion.
I actually think he looks big as a vehicle and smaller as a robot. He looks like he should be quite tall as a robot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that they've managed to pull off that slender look. Because I think he looks he's probably a little bigger than classic Bumblebee in vehicle mode. So it's not too small, but yeah, he's.
That's what she said.
Also, the weather today, the weather today in Florida got only up to 47 degrees.
Well, so speaking of small, then.
Or at least that's in Orlando. We were talking about weather earlier, so I looked it up.
Somebody save me. I'm surrounded by children.
Children.
Long before you got
Zeron goes.
Yeah. You knew this.
Zeron goes into a coughing fit.
Yeah, you knew this long before you got involved with this, Amber.
Are you kidding me? I'm the only chick at the podcast. How many times a night you think I get made fun of?
Oh. Well, you're not the only chick. Natsume is part of the podcast.
She just decided to go live in a black hole.
Yeah. She's fixing that, though, but...
She's, super busy. That doesn't help. I haven't talked to her in forever. I miss her.
Yes. Megamus,
I was playing PlayStation with her almost every day, and it's like she just fell off the
edge. Yeah, she hasn't logged in like 6 months.
On there. I know.
So, Megamus, what made your wallet say ouch?
Well, it's Mike said. I got this thing.
That thing.
This. Yeah. doesn't stand, but everyone likes him. I got that.
Yeah. He throws it.
Yeah. Sorry,
Did you pop his knees in all the way?
For those of you who can't see it on the downloadable version, he held up Generation Skids. Which seems to be the big ticket item this for
it's
everyone.
A big turd.
Sorry, I definitely see where he's terrible, but I have appreciation
a lot more. And whereas this guy, He's lived up to his expectation.
Yeah.
He's badass.
And that was Generations Waspinator, everybody.
Yes.
He is,
Generations Waspinator.
He is awesome.
I have zero complaints about that that figure, with the exception whenever I'm taking a picture of it. His translucent wings are really crappy to deal with on Infinite White. That's my only complaint. But as far as the design, I think it is phenomenal.
Excellent, excellent toy. And for $10, you can, oh my gosh, you can't beat it.
I got mine for $13. You still can't beat that.
$10 was better.
Actually, yeah, $10 beats $13. Yeah.
$10 is beats it.
I bet if I had the money, I probably would have bought.
Hold on, we got somebody joining us, and they're not. Sorry.
Checking out some stuff.
Sorry.
Ah.
Not supposed to be able to join here. Sorry about that.
Whoops.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the first time we've had that on here.
How does that work?
Like, I don't know. Somebody just joined us, and they're not supposed to be able to. We do appreciate you listening to us and wanting to join us, but if you want to interact with us, please interact with us on YouTube or Twitter at TFYLP.
Yeah. I wonder what was on his TV. We couldn't really see.
No. Yeah. More importantly, don't
probably
do it when I'm talking.
Yeah.
Nobody cares, Megamist. It's okay. Nobody cares.
You know, I was just getting ready to, you know, talk about. Finally got him in.
Ooh.
That is the Kabaya.
Nice.
Overlord.
Very nice.
The two Kabaya Road Caesars.
Those come with gum, right?
Yeah.
How good is the gum?
I love the gum. I actually buy it for the gum. I'll save that for a minute. Is it Kalis? Is that how that's pronounced? Kalis? The Swoop?
Is it out already?
Kriya,
no, this isn't your imagination. I don't have it in my hands.
Well, I didn't know it was even out already. Jeez. That's all I'm trying to say.
Hang on.
Is that made by the same people who did
Planet X?
Yeah,
Genesis.
X.
Yeah,
Genesis X. Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Genesis X.
Yeah, and then of course a little masterpiece, Love My Smoke Screens, which, as you know, all of these came from CapturePrey.com. So,
can you say the slogan?
No, I can't. I still can't. I tried it last time and couldn't. Now, this is my last attempt at saving that hunk of crap.
Oh, the Uranus? Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, I did put this kit on, and I even did the mod to the hips to keep it from falling over, and it's still a floppy mess. So, but then my last thing, and this is the one that ouched, was... I don't know if I can get him in the frame or not. How about that?
Ooh, Diaclone-powered convoy. Nice.
Oh, goodness.
Sideways action.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was behind me.
Yeah.
That is very nice. Is it sealed or is it...
No. No, it's missing a few pieces, but it's definitely head and shoulders about what I had. So...
Very
that
nice.
That was my big ouch. My big ouch.
I can understand that. That is a huge ouch, but very nice ouch. Very, very welcome ouch.
Oh, ow.
And there's another type of ow.
Yeah, but hers is a hot glue gun ow.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine's kind of physical. Mine's kind of I won't be able to feel my fingers for a week kind of thing.
Ouch. So, I am Unicron. What about your, what made your wallet say ouch this week? Anything?
I got a few items that finished trickling in. They kind of came in the other day. Been taking advantage of all the sales here. The Creo little micro combiners.
Ooh, yeah.
Abominus. I don't know if y'all can see it there. I haven't had a chance to open it up yet. It's neat. For $4, man.
I wish
Wow.
Yeah, Amazon had them on sale. I wish I would have bought them, but I had a truck that I was buying.
Yeah, well, that's understandable.
So.
Oh, and sideburn, we'll talk about that truck here in just a minute.
And also got a, I think most people have this guy already, but the Ryan Pax.
Nice, okay. Good.
I wanted to get him, but he disappeared before I ever, you know, when I had the money to get him, he was gone. And I was
occasionally,
like,
thing. I still find them around here.
They're everywhere around here. Mm-hmm. I find Ryan Pax all the time.
Well, apparently there's more collectors here.
Maybe Mirai Baby should help Sideburn 2 out. And
I think I do enough muling during the summer months for conventions, thanks.
And what else we got? I got this guy that I don't think a lot of people like.
I want that simply for so I could get the hubcap upgrade kit and turn it into hubcap.
Oh, okay.
But I can't find them anymore now. They're all Goldfire around here now.
It was Amazon $6.99, along with Orion Pax was $6.99. And then this guy was $10 on there.
Oh. Yeah,
nice.
I like the Dark Steel decoration.
Yeah, I've seen that one. Like I said, I haven't had a chance. And then one more really god-awful-looking Transformer that a lot of people seem to hate when it came out is... this handsome fellow.
Oh, yeah. I love that guy.
Man, I just really like his colors. You know, he was $29.
$29? Holy crap, I gave like 30
wait,
for it.
Wait, where? TF where? Force? I need him. Oh, I need one.
I gave like 35 for mine at Slagicon. But
That's one of the two lockdown molds I don't have.
Awesome looking. I just had to pick him up, man. I know everybody hates his colors. I just think it's really cool looking. So
you should have seen.
I just had to get him.
You should have seen my wife's reaction whenever I first got that home. I pulled it out. She sees the car mode and she's like, ooh, neat colors, I guess, you know. And then I turned it into robot mode and she's like, that thing is hideous. Why did you want that? I'm like,
painted
I love
by
it.
A 5-year-old.
Yeah. Well, then I showed her a picture of Action Master Thundercracker from BotCon. And I'm like, I want this too. And she goes, if you buy that, I'm divorcing you.
That is fantastic.
And that's what I got. That's the end of it. So
awesome. So, Mirai Baby, how about you? What's your what made your wife say ouch?
Hot glue gun.
Yeah. No, that made her that made her finger say ouch, not her wall.
Oh yeah, her finger.
Yeah, that made my fingers say ouch. See, I don't really have very much to this time. I do have this thing though. It's the Iron Man arc reactor ring.
Ooh, nice.
So
cool.
It lights up, it's got a bright ass LED and it's it comes in, like, this, like, little ring case. So, like, if you wanted to give it to somebody and be like, will you please marry me, you probably could.
That is awesome.
I got fabric.
Well, that's for making awesome Transformer cosplays.
It is. The biggest, yeah, that's the biggest ouch my wallet thing for this time around is fabric. So I got silver fabric.
Fabrique.
Super shiny, like, this is like kind of chrome-like.
Ooh.
Like I can see my face in it. That's how chromey it is.
Didn't you have some kind of shiny stuff on the Breakdown costume, too?
Yes, yeah. Breakdown's got gray, but he doesn't have... Breakdown's got gray. It's like a slightly shiny gray. This is way more shiny than Breakdown's is. But then I got the black to go with it, which is also kind of shiny. And then, because I'm doing Barricade, I've also got this purple, which is, if I can get, is like pretty damn shiny. So this costume is going to be really shiny, you know.
Oh, yeah.
$150 later, and I've got fabric.
Oh wow.
All we got was toys.
I have fabric. That's it's on topic because it's for a Transformers costume, so we're okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we were talking about Star Wars stuff or anything like that.
Oh no, of course not. No, we don't ever do that.
I mean, heaven forbid.
We'll never talk about Star Wars stuff.
Oh, no, we never go off topic.
Never. Never.
Yeah. No, because like I said earlier, I'm getting ready to do the apartment thing and getting a car. I'm kind of strapped for cash right now, so one of my friends is coming in 2 weeks, and we're going to be doing the zoo and SeaWorld. But other than that, I don't have anything. There's nothing out right now that I'm even remotely interested in. I'm not a big fan of a lot of the Thrilling 30 toys they've come out with so far. I'm just really not. None of it interests me, so. Yeah.
Well, you sort of got to be an IDW fan to be
into it. Yeah, and I'm not really that big on comics, which is the problem. I'm going to have an issue, though, as soon as they decide to start repainting Construct Bots and Skywarp comes out, so yeah. I'm going to have an issue there.
Skywarp doesn't come out yet?
No, not yet. Should be. Should be soon, I think. They haven't repainted Starscream yet. I think it's just
Freaking been... I hope not. Well, yeah, they did. Well, they did Thundercracker.
Okay, then. For whatever reason, TC seems to be the first one that comes out. Skywarp is usually the last of the three.
Hasbro's out of their mind.
I don't know. I think Skywarp is never so much better than either of the three. So whatever.
Hasbro has their finger on the pulse of the collector.
I've got a fantastic collection of Skywarp toys, and I really, honestly, don't even know how it started or how it happened.
Everyone loves a black and purple Decepticon. I mean, that's just a black and purple matter of fact.
Well, it doesn't help. It doesn't help that the black and purple motif is very pretty.
Yeah.
It's black striking. And
purple, because black and purple is Decepticon, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that the original Skywarp, his purple was more of a lavender, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then I think over the years it's kind of been retconned into more of a deeper purple than lavender. But, yeah.
Trying to think of if I bought glue sticks.
Told you.
I bought really fat glue sticks for my super powerful hot glue gun that I'm terrified of using.
That you keep burning yourself on?
Like, this is really thick. Like, really thick. This is one of, like, those high-powered glue sticks. Like, super thick, super long. Make fun of that. I'm going to kill you.
Super thick. It's...
I didn't even mean to say that. I swear to God.
You got to filter yourself. You should know them by now.
Giggity.
We've already got the rating. Go with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how it happened, but we got labeled with the explicit lyric label, so.
And that's before I even came on.
Yeah.
Might be something, I don't know, I tend to cuss a lot on accident, and y'all like to make fun of the chicks, so okay.
Well, we don't make fun of the chicks, we make fun of everybody. So what are you talking about?
Okay, you make fun of me while I'm on. Put it that way. No, I don't know. I don't really have anything really else. That's it. That's it. I'm really boring this time.
My ouch, my wallet is actually kind of boring too, and I really spent nothing this past week, but the item over my shoulder here, because my screen is flipped, but the item over my shoulder here is a vintage 1981 Empire Strikes Back AT-AT from Star Wars. And
you mean the AT-AT?
Yes, the AT-AT. I actually found it on eBay right around Christmas time. And the story behind the reasoning behind it is my wife, she's a huge Star Wars fan too, and she actually, as a little girl, collected Star Wars toys, and she loves Star Wars toys. She was a little tomboy and hated girly toys. She didn't like dolls. She liked her AT-ATs and Han Solos and all that. And this was actually one of her favorite toys. And we were talking about it, and I actually found one on eBay. And this one that that is behind me, I gave a whopping $56 for it shipped from Florida.
Wow.
Is that good?
So
I don't know.
So if that's basically. Basically, you bought a toy, passed it off that you're buying it for your wife, but it's really for you.
No, it's actually for her. I gave
you can go with that story. It's okay.
Well,
it's okay.
look on her Facebook page.
My question is, can Metroplex sit on it like he's riding a horse, and will it still stand up?
Oh, I have an idea. Yes, yes, you gave me an idea.
I can tell you right now it will.
We're all in trouble.
Somebody's already tried it.
Oh, no, I don't have a Metroplex. I hate that thing, remember?
Either that or we can have some Metroplex and AT-AT bestiality or something, you know?
No, but I just feel like I know how the joints are on that, and they're strong enough. It'll hold it.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
That thing is gigantic. I mean, this is a 2-foot by 2-foot light box. So that kind of gives you an idea how big that thing is. Yeah, I don't know that's what she said, but.
Not to you.
Yeah. She says it to me all the time. But.
You're killing yourself.
Yes.
He's deleting himself.
Oh, gosh. I'm so hopped up on code and stuff right now, it's not even funny.
Turn it red.
Yeah.
Turn up. You're normal again.
Yeah. But, you know, actually my wallet said ouch about 3 weeks ago on that, but I'm really happy with it, and she's really happy with it, so it's pretty good pickup, I think, especially for $56, considering that most of the time they go for around 100 or more. The only thing with it is, as you can see, one of the face guns on it, I guess, is missing, or not missing, but bent, and then one of the chin guns is missing. But aside from that, I think it's complete, and it still works, and it's unbroken. So it's about all you can ask. But anybody else can think of anything for Ouch My Wallet, Ouch My Wallet has been brought to you, as always, by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturedPrey.com. Before we go into our discussion topic of the night, which is past Transformers Hall of Fame inductees, let's talk a little bit about some news. forgive me.
He looks even funnier when you can't hear him.
Yeah.
That's not nice.
Yes.
Be nice.
So, BotCon.
Oh, my God.
We know it's going to be in Pasadena again this year.
Yay! Yeah, so excited.
The one person in California.
We were all surprised at that one.
The one person in California is happy, and notice the rest of us are like, yeah, whatever.
I only have to drive 3 hours to get there. I'm so excited.
Well, you know, that leads to another little bit of news, is that our Canadian northern visitors, or neighbors, rather, who visitors. Always hold... visitors. Yeah, they're visitors.
Aliens.
They perennially held TFCon in Toronto, and, well, there is going to be a TFCon Toronto this year, but they have announced that TFCon USA is coming to Chicago, Illinois in late October. That is really, really huge news, and knowing that all the past visitors to the TFCon Canada, how much everybody loves that show and says how well, how good of a show that they put on.
It is a fantastic show. In part, I think, due to that specific hotel, because that specific hotel was awesome as well. Unfortunately, yeah. as cool as TFCon USA would possibly be, it is going to have a distinct lack of water slide.
Huh.
Yeah. And a bit too much Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
I don't mind it so much being in Chicago. It's it's the distinct lack of water slide that's going to suck.
Yeah. I just hope they can get the hotel to promote the show like they do in Canada. I mean, to have you go to the restaurant and they have the where you can order from the menu, and all the menu has TFCon. It's got an Autobot logo. I mean, they print these off.
Wow. Transformers.
Everything. They go beyond. I mean, yeah, they have their special drinks, menus, everything for the show.
I still have. I stole the menus from last year.
You too?
Yeah, because they were cool.
Yeah, they were neat.
They were super neat. They're probably meant to be kept,
aren't they?
Yeah. That was the whole idea. Like, I went back on Sunday figuring, okay, they're probably going to need them on the weekends. I'll just pick one up on Sunday. So I wandered back to the manager and asked him if I could have one. And he's like, yeah, they're all kind of gone. So I had the food one in my hand. I was like, I really want the drink one, because the drink one actually had a bunch of Transformers-themed drinks on it.
Yeah.
So, like, at that point, it was just like...
I don't remember which one I got.
I grabbed both of them. I had the food one, and then, like, up on the wall, there was actually, like, one of the drink ones was slipped in a manila envelope.
Yeah.
Or inside some sort of envelope on the wall, and he's like, you can have this one. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, but they really did. They went all out. And that hotel, the rooms were great. And I think, what was it, $110?
Yeah, super cheap.
I mean,
the Delta Meadowvale up there is fantastic.
It is.
That hotel
is awesome.
You're
talking very updated. You know, it's not like going back into the 60s or 70s with the shag carpet like we got at BotCon. This was a really, really upscale, nice hotel. And it was cheap.
And it was also kind of right in the middle of a lot of different things. You didn't have to drive very far to get to very many places.
No,
I
you
like
could
the
go
fact,
get something to eat. You go there were stores nearby. Grocery stores, anything you wanted.
I like the fact that the Tim Hortons was right down the street. Because instead of buying, like $10 breakfasts, we all just piled into cars and went to go get Tim Hortons every morning.
Those of us who don't know, what is Tim Hortons?
Tim Hortons is a lot like a Starbucks. It's a cafe... bakery kind of. They do breakfast sandwiches, they do donuts, they do coffee. It's Tim Hortons is essentially what Starbucks is, kind of what Starbucks is here. You can find a Tim Hortons on literally almost every corner.
Along with something else.
Okay.
Well, I was talking about street lamps. What were you talking about? Street lamps.
Oh, okay,
what
yeah,
are you
you're
talking
right.
about? And you guys get your minds out of the gutter. Man,
yeah, stay there. What are you talking about?
I don't know, man. I don't know. The Canadians
and you guys
are really,
talking about other things.
I don't know, man. The Canadians are really friendly. I bet you could find that if you really wanted to.
Street lamps? I'm sure.
Something tells me we're not talking about street lamps.
That's just your dirty mind.
Mine's not dirty.
You've been taking too much cough syrup.
Yeah. Oh. But yes, TFCon is coming to USA in Chicago. And I, for one, even though I don't know what my working situation is going to be for the rest of the year, I'm pretty sure I should be able to somehow, if I was to get a job and keep it, you know, get one to stay at, not temporary. I'm sure I'll probably be able to get something off in late October. And also, seeing as how Chicago's only about 4 hours away by car, be a lot easier for me to get to than BotCon, which I would actually have to fly to. I mean, I'd like to go to BotCon this year with it being the 30th anniversary and all, and, the announcement of the Pirates versus whatever box set is really, really
ninjas.
Interesting. Yeah, is it ninjas?
They haven't said. But,
well,
I mean,
Pirates versus
you say,
right now.
You say Pirates versus, then the only logical conclusion is ninjas.
Ninjas, zombies, and what's the other one? I forget.
Ninjas are the natural enemy of the Pirates.
Yeah. If it's going to be a zombies versus ninja set, it's going to be really weird. But anyway,
No, G.I. Joe's already doing the zombie thing, I think.
Editor's note, at the time that we were recording this, the internet connection dropped out on my end, and I had to reconnect to the party. So this little spot here was dead, and we were offline for about 2 minutes. We'll take back up right where we left off.
He came back.
He keeps
fading in and out.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah, my internet is crapping out here.
It claims we're still live.
Yeah, we should still be live.
Even if you go out, will we still be live?
As long as I don't stop click on stop broadcast, it should still go live.
And then we just might have to cover for 20 hours.
Yeah, it just keeps going.
Flailing as we try to desperately figure out what to talk about or what to do.
Well, it wasn't recorded on my end. I'm still recording audio, so I'll have to, whenever I go in to do the downloadable version, I'll have to like cut out like a 2 minute span there. But let me double check here and make sure we're still on YouTube.
Yeah, I would be interested to go to TFCon USA, but due to what I'm currently working on and purchasing and stuff like that, the only one that's absolutely 100% for me right now is BotCon. if I don't go to TFCon in Toronto, then I'll probably go to TFCon USA. But I'd prefer to go to Toronto for sure. I miss Kanata.
Just go to both.
I miss Kanata. I need more Kanata in my life.
I liked it.
I'd like to go to a TFCon Canada once, but...
I would love to go to both of them, but right now I don't know if it's in the budget. Right now, TFCon is, like, barely in my budget.
Well, let me put you this way. Last year, I went to BotCon, and I went to TFCon. TFCon, of course, being in Canada. And it was exceedingly cheaper for me to go to TFCon out of the States than it was to go to BotCon.
Wow. Why exactly was that? Can you explain?
The main reason was I could drive. I drove to Canada.
I drove to Canada, too.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to drive to California. I drove to Canada
from San Diego.
Well, I mean, I can't take 4 days off just to drive there and 4 days back just to drive.
Yeah,
You know, 7-8 days of driving.
See, that's one of my things too. Is that you know, with our sponsor Captured Prey, you know, I've been offered to help out with the booth at the show, and you know, I could actually go with him, but at the same time, I can't because of the and why is my
Transformers for your
I have to fix that. I was looking at that. I'm like, why is it saying that? But because he has to take so long to drive out there and drive back, I can't possibly ask for that much time off. Even considering I'd be a new employee anywhere I went. So
yeah, it takes. I think he's got it down to 3 days.
Yeah.
I can't take a whole week off and then another 5 days for the show because I always have to get there early. I don't like being there the day it starts. I always come in a couple days earlier. So
Road trips are fantastic though.
I couldn't take that much time off.
I got lucky this time to be able to take that time off. I took flat out. Almost a month. It was 3.5 weeks that I took off work.
To which BotCon?
To last year's BotCon, 2013, I took off that weekend for BotCon, went back to work for 7 days, and then took off on another 3 week vacation. Because my friend came into town, we did Comic Con together, and then immediately after Comic-Con ended on that Monday, we took off and drove for 2 weeks up to Canada and back.
Oh, wow.
And that was the coolest thing I have ever seen and ever done But I don't see myself ever being able to get that opportunity again, at least in the near future.
I'd say it's very costly in gas and everything.
It was. We got a nice cost-effective vehicle. We actually ended up renting a vehicle, so it was actually about $400 for each of us. I paid for one way, and my friend paid for the other. So it was $400 in gas, and then it was $300 for the both of us. So we just split the check for the car. So the vacation itself was incredibly costly, but it was a lot of fun.
So I know we talked briefly about it before the show aired, but what's your thoughts on the first figure announced in the BotCon box set this year is the Prime Breakdown mold redecoed into Cannonball.
Was that officially announced?
I believe it was.
I thought that was someone's mock-up. That was official, and that's pretty cool.
I believe it is. Let me confirm that.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't see a post of it up on TFW, so I don't think that's official. Where? I remember seeing it.
The first
time I saw it was on Twitter, and that was General Techno going, "Hey, it would be really cool if we got Cannonball in there, and he looked like this."
Yeah, I thought that was unofficial.
So far, it looks like they've only revealed.
They've only revealed Cannonball's flag. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Okay. Well, maybe.
But if they do that, if they do that Prime design, holy crap! Yes.
Well, I did see that, and I believe I saw it on Twitter and on Facebook and everything, and I just assumed that it was.
Unfortunately, I don't think it's official yet.
It's not almost 20 years old, so there's no way they're going to bring it over from Japan.
Nah. Well, neither is the... what's that Beast Wars Neo thing?
Well, Beast Wars...
The mold?
Well, the one they're using for...
the Waspinator. The
Thrustinator, yeah.
We're two years from the Beast Wars 20th anniversary. I mean, so it's...
Yeah, but not Japanese Beast Wars.
Japanese Beast Wars came out...
Like 99, like, didn't they?
No, they came out... I believe they came out in 97 or 98. Because it was while they were dubbing Season 3 of Beast Wars into Japanese. Or Season 2 and 3. I'll look that up. But yeah, they're not new figures. They're pretty old.
They're closer to 20. I knew they weren't new, but I mean, I didn't think they were.
Yeah.
But then again, it's hard to believe that the first masterpiece MP01 Optimus Prime is over 10 years old now. So it's hard
to
believe. I
sold that thing a long time ago.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's still one of my favorite molds, though.
It is actually a very good toy for its age, but if you compare it to MP10, it's by no means, you know, any close.
Well, yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, I like MP10, but
really?
MP1, it's got the size, it's got more die cast, it's got the heft. It does have some problems with it. You know, the joints aren't as nice. Some of the paint apps aren't as nice as the new one. Some of the gimmicks that the new one does, the articulation, is better. But, I mean, it's the sheer size of it, the heft. I mean, it's a good toy in and of itself.
Yeah.
It was too big. And it liked to fall forward.
Yeah, it did. Mine did, too.
Well, my 10 was the same way when I got it new. I had to take a screwdriver out and tighten up his ankles. That was the first thing as soon as I pulled it out.
You couldn't tighten up MP1's ankles because he had this, like...
Were they on ball joints?
You got her own ball joints with a little shock on it.
Yeah, the MP1's on ball joints. All you got to do is use the nail polish or something on it. You'd be fine.
A little dab of super glue. Yeah.
The only one that I ever had a problem with that I couldn't fix.
Damn it.
Other than something in there, his ankles won't support the weight.
On which one? I couldn't hear you.
Masterpiece Megatron.
Oh, yeah. That's
a giant...
It's neat. His transformation mode sucks, but...
Isn't there a rumor that they're redoing that mold? Or redoing that figure?
So. I hope so.
I hope so like in the new scale.
Yeah, well, but the truth of the matter is, if you take Megatron, Masterpiece Megatron, and you do not extend the legs, he's to scale with MP10.
Yeah.
Looks just fine.
And he'd look a lot like G1 Megatron.
And guess what? He stands up better. Yeah. So.
The biggest problem I have with him is his sculpt. When you put it on his arm, man, his arm just sags and he leans over.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big
way
scope.
Too heavy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's way too heavy for him.
But, Beast Wars 2nd came out, or started broadcasting in Japan April 1st, 1998.
Yeah, so around 98, 99, I was right. Ha.
That's closer to 97 than 99.
Yeah. But I was closer.
All right, that's it. Fist fight.
Yeah.
I said 97, 98, Durham. I was technically closer.
Yeah, okay. Whatever.
But still, it's closer, it's closer to 20 than it is to 10. I'm just saying, that would be their lame excuse for why they couldn't use it.
And before we go off into our discussion topic tonight, Fans Project Core announced that sometime this week they are beginning to ship the final three Glacial Bots. Anybody else got these on order?
I still need the first two.
There's rumor that they're going to be re-releasing those.
I'm sure they're going to do a set. They're going to do a gift set.
But I for one, am exceedingly excited about these. I saw one great idea on one of the forums. A guy he's putting Maximal symbols on his and putting them up against King Poseidon. So, you know, because from, I think the, whichever it's
God
was.
God Neptune.
Neptune. Yeah. King Poseidon was Japanese Piranacon, but God Neptune, the Japanese Beast Wars version of it. I think
white
that's
green.
Yeah, that's like a really, really good idea. Although, for me personally, I'll see them more as a Autobot faction than anything else. They seem more along the aesthetic of the 87 bots than anything,
yeah.
In my opinion. But yeah, that's really exciting. So let's move on to our discussion topic of the night. It's probably going to be just skimming over it. I do want to reiterate that we on Friday we had a discussion topic about vintage versus reissue. And if you can make it this Friday, Megamus, I'd like to hear your thoughts on it, as well as Plasticons, if he's able to make it. I think that's a really interesting topic, and we can revisit it then. We also had the input of our friend from Radio Free Cybertron, Headmaster Don. He joined us last Friday, and it was a really good show. If you want to hear it, you can check it out here on YouTube and also on tftalk.net or iTunes. You can download the audio version of it now, and a really good listen. And it's a subject that comes up quite frequently in the collector circle. No matter what kind of collector you are, you're going to eventually run into a reissue versus vintage conundrum. You know, should I buy vintage? Should I buy reissue? What do I want? What do I care about? Really interesting. Also, want to remind people who are listening to the show, if you want to... Okay. Beep, beep.
Yeah, this is, yeah.
It sounded like a Roadrunner there. Beep,
oh,
beep. But I'm sorry. I'm so
lost his train of thought.
Yeah, this medicine's got me really, really stopped up here, and I'm it's hard.
Blame it on the medicine. Go ahead.
Yes, yes. I do want to remind people that we are live on YouTube, and if you have any comments or questions, feel free to post them in the comments on YouTube or tweet them to us at TFYLP. Also, you can comment on us on the Google Plus page. Please don't try to join our Hangout. While we do appreciate your willingness to want to join in the conversation, if we let everyone join in, it would be just a big mess. And
Madhouse.
I honestly don't know why Google allowed that, because I had it set to private. That's kind of strange. But anyway, Hall of Fame inductees. It began at BotCon in 2010 in Orlando. Was the very first induction into the Hall of Fame. And while there are human people who have been inducted into the Hall of Fame, we're going to concentrate mainly on the robots. Characters who have been inducted. Of course, humans like Peter Cullen, the voice of the perennial voice of Optimus Prime, the Optimus Prime voice in a lot of fans' views. He was one of the very first
of Transformers.
Yeah,
at this point,
he was one of the very, very first human inductees, and there's a lot more. But of course, on the robot side, in 2010. We saw Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Megatron, Starscream, and Dinobot inducted into the Hall of Fame. And for those who were in attendance, a couple of us were. Well, actually, I believe we were all there. Were you there, I Am Unicron? Have you ever been to BotCon?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
But I do know that that was the one Sideburn was actually there with us, weren't you? He went quiet.
He is mic'd out.
He is mic'd out. But anyway, the attendees got these little plaque things here. They're actually kind of nice. The first two are
license plates.
Yeah, they're on thick cardboard and everything. And then the last one that I went to in Dallas was on this little thin cardboard, and it's already warping on me. I don't think they just kind of cheaped out on it that year. For whatever reason. But your thoughts on the inductees? Anyone out of that list of Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Megatron, Starscream, and Dinobot, anybody think that there's somebody on that list that doesn't deserve to be there? Or who is the most deserving on that list to be in the Hall of Fame?
You know the most deserving is going to be Prime.
Yeah.
So let's just slide that one off, okay? That's a done deal.
Well, I mean, whenever people think of Transformers, Optimus Prime is the main Transformer. Yeah. You know, I mean, everybody sees the big red and blue truck, and they automatically think Optimus Prime. Megatron,
Optimus Prime.
Yeah,
I'm back, by the way. And yes, BotCon 2010 was the one I was at.
But Megatron, you know, everybody knows the gun, you know, Megatron. He's, you know, anybody who is old enough to remember the original. Of course, you know, the younger generation, Megatron is a T-Rex. So,
or a dragon.
Or a dragon.
Yeah. Or a tank.
Or a T-Rex with
or some weird-looking tank.
Or a tank,
yeah.
Yes.
Or a giant spaceship.
Yeah. But, you know, no matter what generation you think of, you know, Megatron is up there, too. Bumblebee's one of those characters that not a lot of people know about until...
What?
No, wait. Well, let me finish. Until the movie. You know, when the movie came along, you know, Bumblebee, oh, he's a Camaro dude. And I don't care where you go nowadays... Bumblebee, you mentioned the Transformer Bumblebee, and it's like, oh, that's the Camaro dude. You know, to me, I'm like, no, he's the Volkswagen. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. But yeah, Bumblebee was
in distress.
Bumblebee was one of those fringe characters up until the movie in 2007 came out that not a lot of people remembered.
Yeah.
But
the kid appeal character.
Yeah.
And then he showed up everywhere.
Yeah, now he has flooded the market, and everybody knows the name Bumblebee now. Starscream is another one character. He is another character that everybody remembers because he's the guy that always tried to knock off Megatron. Of course, you know, he was inducted because he, you know, had a memorable character. Anybody have an argument why he should not be in there, or any reasons why he should be there?
Is this Starscream?
Starscream.
Starscream is probably second to maybe, well, I say second when to Optimus and Soundwave is probably the most memorable of G1. And so he's definitely got to be up there because everyone remembers his shrill and his, you know, constantly trying to undermine Megatron and take over the Decepticons.
Hmm. Well, even for the Beast Wars era, you know, Beast Wars fans were introduced to Starscream in the episode Possession, you know.
Great episode, by the way.
Yes, it is. Matter of fact, the very first time I'll never forget the very first time I saw the episode Possession is whenever I bought the box set from Rhino.
Kiddies, if you're confused, this set right here, this was inspired by Possession. Because Starscream possesses Waspinator.
Yeah, and I'll never forget watching that show for the first time, and I was totally not expecting Starscream. You know, you hear this voice, and you're like, that totally sounds like Starscream, but no, this is Beast Wars. We're not going to see it. And then whenever you see that lightning flash, and you see the Starscream standing there, you know, and you're like, oh my gosh, the hair literally raised up on my arm.
Yeah, and that was really the first time that they really delved down into the fact that Beast Wars was, you know, a sequel to G1. Before that, they had been really light on the details, you know, maybe a name drop here or there. But then this one went all into the events of the, you know, 86 movie and...
And the Great War. Speaking of Beast Wars, the Beast War inductee that year was Dinobot. Now, Dinobot is one of those characters that... you know, a lot of people don't know about Dinobot. You know, I mean, unless you grew up in the Beast Wars era and really paid attention to Transformers, it's like my wife. I was telling her about the inductees, and she goes, "Okay, I've heard of the other guys, but who's a Dinobot?" She had no idea. Totally lost on the character.
It's kind of sad that he's not been in anything since.
Yeah,
that's a lot like me. I didn't do a lot of Beast Wars when I was little, and still don't really do a lot of Beast Wars now. So the novelty of Dinobot being in the Hall of Fame is totally lost on me.
I mean, I totally get
it. He's in there for a good reason.
Yeah, he is a good character, and I'm not saying the personally that he's not deserving, but you know, if you go simply by well-known characters, Dinobot, quite frankly, isn't well known, and he's not his character. Mm-mm. His characterization has not really been reused at all since Beast Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, IDW reused it, and they called it Drift.
Yes. His character.
Yeah, the Decepticon turned Autobot, you know, sort of. Warrior ninja.
Unfortunately, though, and I hate to say this, and I know I'm going to hear some backlash about this, but not a lot of, you know, not everybody reads comic books. You know, I'm a huge Transformer fan, and I don't even read the Transformer comics, you know, because, I mean, I do, but, you know, I don't subscribe to them. I haven't read every issue. You know, If there's a good compilation like the Last Stand of the Wreckers, I bought the trade paperback of it to read that, and it was a very good story. But you know, your general populace is not going to read the comics. So
someone's probably going to get on me too for saying that Drift is just Dinobot, you know, as a white car. But from what I understood of what his character was, I mean, that's what it sounded like to me.
Basically a ripoff of Dinobot. But yeah, I mean, if you go strictly on popularity, unless you just go on the fan vote, which is, I believe, how he got in there to begin with. He was a fan voted.
Considering that he was the only Beast character on there.
Yeah.
And all of the Beast Wars fans that did vote on him are probably like, well, I don't really like G1 characters, so I guess I'm gonna go vote for. You know, because there are a lot of I have experienced, or not necessarily experienced, but I've kind of generally gotten the impression that there are a lot of people who adore Beast Wars that don't like G1.
Mm-hmm.
So if I remember correctly, yeah, the fan vote characters, it was like all G1 characters and then one Beast Wars character. So all of the Beast fans are going to automatically jump to Dinobot, or in that same fashion, everyone who dislikes G1 characters is going to immediately vote for the thing it's not.
Yeah. Well, if you look at if we move along to the second year in 2011 in Pasadena, the robot inductees were Ironhide, Ratchet, Soundwave, and
yay,
the one Beast Wars character, Waspinator.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
again, it followed that same pattern: a bunch of G1 characters and the Beast character.
Yeah, but out of all of those, me personally, I think the one that is most deserving is Soundwave. Everybody remembers the tape deck dude, you know, the blue mm-hmm. tape deck dude with the cool sounding voice, and you know,
he's super memorable.
And my wife,
it's Optimus, and then it's Soundwave.
Yeah, Optimus, Soundwave, Megatron.
I wouldn't even say Megatron. I would say Optimus, Soundwave, Starscream.
Yeah.
And then maybe Megatron.
Well, let me. I'm using this as a reference because my wife, quite frankly, she is not a Transformer fan at all. I mean, she likes the movies, thinks they're cool, but you know, and she totally gets why I collect. But she totally has no interest in Transformers whatsoever. So whenever I ask her things like, you know, do you remember a character? You know, she can honestly give me a general populace type answer. You know, because she isn't delved into the stories. She doesn't know the characters like you and I do, and everything. Do you guys have anybody like that in your family or in your circles?
Whole family.
So I mean, well, then let me ask you. I mean, have you ever asked your wife, you know, do you know so and such and such character, or do you mention a character, you know, and she go, I don't know what you're talking about?
I talk about them all the time, and my wife, obviously, she knows Optimus Prime first and number one, and Bumblebee number two, and somewhere along the line is Megatron, but that's the main two that she knows.
She doesn't know about, like, Soundwave or anything?
Nah. Like, I watch the cartoons. You know, my daughter, she'll come and we'll watch them together, and she knows a little bit more. But still, it's limited. Like I say, the main ones, Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, and Megatron is probably the main three that they all know.
Amber, you were getting ready to say something?
Yeah, well, my brother, the same basic, like, my brother knows the characters from the movie mostly, but otherwise he doesn't really know much, and bless my mama to bits and pieces, she's so involved in my life that, I mean, the moment I get interested in something, she tries to find out everything about it, if it's what it's about, what's going on, what the things, what are we doing, you know, a lot of the times because she's just concerned, and hey, she's a parent. She's doing what a parent should be. She's involved in my life. So she knows a little bit more about this than... I mean, I wouldn't talk about Transformers with her because I would just end up having to explain a lot of this stuff. So I wouldn't actually be able to talk with her about it, but she knows a lot more than, like, everyone else in my family. But only knows, like, from general, I'm going to skim the Wikipedia page about Transformers and figure out what this stuff's about. why is my girl collecting toys today?
You know, that's, you know? That's one thing, you know, is with all the faults that my ex-wife had. That was one thing that she always took an active interest in Transformers with me. While she wasn't, you know, the hardcore fan that I was, she knew Optimus Prime, Megatron, Soundwave, RC. She loved RC. And she would actually pick up some of my figures from time to time and mess with them, you know, because she actually had interest. She went with me to BotCon. She actually wanted to go to BotCons. I think partly because she quote unquote had trust issues with me. But, you know, my wife now, she's already told me right now, if you want to go to BotCons and stuff, you know, go, you know, have yourself a ball. I ain't going. She has no interest in going, you know. Of course, you know, a lot of it has to do with her health too, because she just can't really, really walk around like that anymore. But, you know, I respect that. But
she's giving you that leeway. That's nice.
Yeah.
But it, granted, it was nice for your ex-wife to take an active interest in it, because that's always a plus.
Yeah. You know, and I didn't have to, you know, have to sit and constantly. You know, if I'm trying to show her something about a character or show her something that I've got, I don't have to sit and sit and explain it to her. Whereas with my wife now, she's like, now why is that important? Why is that so cool? You know, you know, she really, you know, just shrugs it off. You know, and it's kind of a letdown, but at the same time, you know, I'm not sitting here saying, well, you know, I really wish she was a fan. You know, and that's a knock against her. It's by no means a knock. You know, I mean,
she's a nerd. That's what you got to be thankful for.
Oh yeah, I mean, heck, I mean, she loves Star Wars, and you should have seen her face whenever we opened this AT-AT this afternoon. I mean, she was literally sitting there vibrating in her chair, and I thought that was the most adorable thing. And it came packed in a huge box with packing peanuts in it, and I lifted it up out of the box and sat it down in the box, and it looked like it was walking in snow. And she took a picture of it and posted it on Facebook.
That's cute.
You know, I mean, while she's not a Transformer nerd, she is a nerd. So, and you know, I have a lot to be thankful for there. I am losing my voice. the 2011 inductees, Ironhide, Ratchet, Soundwave, Waspinator. Your guys' thoughts. Megamus, we haven't heard you in a few minutes.
My thoughts on...
On Ironhide, Ratchet, Soundwave, and Waspinator. Why or why not those should be in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, well, I love Waspinator, so I was very glad and very happy when he was inducted.
Again, a fan inducted.
And I think that's self-serving. I think he deserved it. But there's some of me, you know, part of me that also thinks it's just because of, it's not so much because they were trying to put one Beast Wars character in each year. Also had to do with the voice actors and who they had that year. I think that had a lot to do with it also.
Could be.
Scott McNeil was there.
Yeah.
Well, but Waspinator was fan voted, so.
Yeah. Now, they inducted Peter Cullen, right?
Peter Cullen was in
the 2000. Very first year.
Yeah, he was in 2010.
So they do induct voice actors also.
Yeah.
Have they inducted any other voice actors?
In 2011, they inducted the human inductees were Michael Bay and Steven Spielberg.
Good Lord, Michael Bay.
Yeah,
oh,
no, yeah. We don't. We did a lot of voice actors the first year, and then I think it was like two voice actors the second year, and one Hasbro dude. Because I think Hideaki Okio was the first one.
Yeah,
it was 2010.
Yeah, in 2010, it was Bob Budiansky, Peter Cullen, Kojin Ono, and Hideaki Yoke.
Right. And I think it was 2011?
2011.
Was it 2011 that it was, Chris Latta?
No, it was 2012. Chris Latta and Simon Furman. And then in 2013...
So they don't really...
There was no...
It's kind of a mix. Sometimes they're voice actors and producers, and they might be Hasbro guys, or they might be I don't think they've done any IDW.
Are they even doing the Hall of Fame this year?
I haven't seen any nominations or anything at all.
Because I know last year,
they didn't barely
do anything last year for it.
They had it during the Hasbro panel. Yeah. Didn't even have a ceremony for it.
Well,
it was something that was thrown in.
The Hall of Fame went from being this huge, awesome hullabaloo during dinner to being this kind of throwaway thing, which is really stupid.
Yeah.
Well, and here's my opinion on it, and
I don't. I'm sorry to run over you, but like I don't honestly care. Like just to kind of iterate my point, like the only reason I think it's stupid is for the humans. The whole robot thing of it is really kind of cool, but to turn the Hall of Fame, which was this awesome, really cool event back in 2010, into this throwaway event. Okay, last year they actually did it during the dinner, but they ended up using some rental speakers, so there were like three speakers up at the front of the hall. So those of us in the middle and in the back of the hall couldn't hear a damn thing that was going on. So half of us were just like, we're just gonna talk and eat dinner because we can't hear anything. And that kind of irritates the shit out of me because they were, you know, the robot thing. Okay, that was kind of fun and lighthearted, but the humans being inducted, the people that made Transformers what it was, for them to be shoved aside, I wish they'd put more effort into it. I don't know what happened. It was awesome in 2010, and all of a sudden in 2013, it was just...
Well, it's like they didn't follow through, and I kind of wonder why. I'd love to actually ask Pete Sinclair about that sometime. That would be really awesome to hear his thoughts on that. I mean, if maybe they have a reason behind it, and we're just not privy to that reason. But I think it's sad that the inductee or the Hall of Fame didn't get the notoriety that it had in previous years. In the 3 years that I attended the Hall of Fame induction, you know, while it had the air of okay, this is kind of goofy, but at the same time, it was really cool. As a fan, it, you know, really highlighted the most important characters and people involved in this brand.
And I'm gonna put my input in here as the non-G1, you know, and I'm going to sort of represent the rest of the people who came after G1. The Hall of Fame was turning into name a G1 character that was in more than two episodes.
Which is evident in 2012 and 2013. I'll read off before you continue. I don't want to cut you off, but the 2012 inductees for the robots there was absolutely no Beast characters at all. You had Grimlock, Jazz, Shockwave, and Wheeljack. And then in 2013, you had Ultra Magnus, Hot Rod, Prowl, RC, and then you had Beast Wars Megatron. So out of two years, you had a single Beast Wars character. So that, you know.
Well, and it's not even, like, there's been, especially in the more recent years, there have been very memorable characters that, you know, just sort of keep popping back up, like Lugnut, Lockdown,
Bulkhead.
That
joke passed several years ago, sweetheart. We're gonna have to come up with something new.
And
Thrust.
Yeah, you have these really memorable characters. You have these really memorable characters that aren't, you know, G1 characters. Because let's be perfectly honest, if you watch G1. There's not really a lot of characters that actually stand out because there was just way too many of them. Uh-huh. And so that's why I'm saying it was becoming name G1 characters that were more than two episodes.
Well, and in that way I understand it, but turning the Hall of Fame, which used to be something awesome and not necessarily about the characters, but more about the people.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, the people are really important to the whole entire thing.
The whole people side of it turning into more of kind of a sideshow for BotCon.
Yeah.
kind of I don't even know why. Like that's one of the things to in the last this past year 2013. Like up in the ceiling there were speakers. I'm not entirely sure why they used their rental speakers as opposed to the ones that were built into the ceiling so that all of us could hear. Because I didn't know what was going on half the time. It was like I could catch the occasional word if somebody talked really loud or the audience was really quiet. But, I mean, other than that, the tables around us were incredibly quiet the entire time. Or incredibly, they were rather noisy, so like I couldn't hear anything. I mean, I don't know. I wish they would give more effort into it, and I can see the character side of it being an issue, being part of it, but I don't know. I much prefer the human part of the whole thing.
Going back to what Cyburn said, you know, with it being a G1 fan wank, basically, is essentially what you're saying. In a way, I can kind of see why it would be, because, you know, now going back and looking at the original Transformers, that is what started it all. And, you know, you're probably going to have a lot of years, you know, a number of years where the characters that are being inducted into the Hall of Fame would be G1 laden. You know, I'm not saying every G1 character should be in there. I mean, I'm not saying Groove and Streetwise should be in the Hall of Fame. You know, I mean, they might have appeared in one episode a piece or two episodes a piece, and then as an arm of Defensor in a couple. Outside of that, you know, not every G1 character is going to make it. And once you get beyond G1, you start getting into Beast Wars and Armada and RID
And then another problem I had is, you know, like when they inducted, say, like RC, and Amber was talking about this earlier, they also lumped in animated RC and Prime RC with that character, and it's like
they're totally different characters.
Those aren't. I can see animated RC, but Prime RC is a different character. And you know, when they first inducted Megatron, they had almost every Megatron that ever existed in his display. It's like a lot of those Megatrons just aren't the same Megatron. I mean, that's inducted by series, not just by characters' names.
Yeah,
this is true. Like I remember actually, we're going to induct Megatron this year, and then wasn't it the next year after that that they did the fan choice awards for Beast Wars Megatron possibly being in there?
Beast Wars Megatron was in 2013.
Yeah. When he was inducted, but I think he's been voted on every year since the first
year. Yeah, but I always thought that was interesting. I always thought that was interesting that it was just like, okay, we're doing Megatron this year, and now we're inducting Beast Wars Megatron, and it's like, you just freaking did Megatron. Can we do somebody else?
Yeah.
Well, it's like voting characters.
It's like voting the same name in twice.
Yeah. It's like I'm a huge fan of animated Megatron. There's no reason he should be lumped in with G1 Megatron, because personally, G1 Megatron is the worst.
They have different personalities, man.
Hey, that's fighting words in some areas.
Yeah, you might watch out, man.
I'm sorry, but I didn't like G1 Megatron. He was I preferred Galvatron.
Here, give me one second. I'll show you what I do with my animated Megatron. Hold on a second here.
Oh, no.
Now we're in trouble.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I don't like that they lump those characters. And then, on top of that, Bumblebee, he was put in there because of the fame he got from the 2007 movie. But that's not the same.
Before then, he was barely even known.
Yeah, he was in the first, miniseries was when he was the most prevalent, and then everyone forgot about him after that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was pretty heavy in season 1 and 2, but beyond season 1 and 2, he was just, eh. And then in season 3, Crap Piece renamed him as Goldbug, you know, or Optimus Prime.
Well, Optimus.
Yeah.
There you go. Animated. That's what I think of animated Megatron. I turn him into Ultra Magnus.
Nice. I like it.
So,
animated Magnus, huh?
There we go.
You need to change.
I don't know. I'm
That's unfortunate because he's not. Well, the figure isn't the best. The figure really isn't the best.
The character is nice. I like animated.
Yeah, he was okay, but I don't think he was better than G1 Megatron.
Come on, he was more like raw power and evil and cunning than G1 Megatron ever wished he could have been.
Well, when I was a kid, he was badass.
I think we might be getting into a Transformer-centric political debate here. Let's move on to figure out which Megatron is better. It's
we're
okay.
Getting really geeky here. We're showing our geek.
And that's what we're here for. And I'll add to this this discussion. You know, G1 Megatron, back whenever I was a kid and I was watching the cartoon, G1 Megatron was so evil. I mean, it's like, every show, it's like I couldn't believe how evil he was. You know, it's like, but at the same time, whenever I grew up, I see the show and I'm like, he's not evil, he's goofy. Everything he did is stupid. It's like you know,
Purple Griffin.
Big Purple Griffin. You know, holding. You know, him as Galvatron holding Soundwave's hand. in Carnage and C minor. I mean, because I lump Megatron and Galvatron, even though they're two different characters, they're the same character because one morphed into the other. mm-hmm. You know, just Galvatron's was basically had the intelligence of Megatron. But he was more insane. And, you know, but I mean, as an adult, you look at Megatron's actions, and it's like, okay, you're so damn predictable. All the Autobots have to do is just guard every power station and every source of power that there is. You know, just put a few guards on it, and whenever you attack one of those, they just come lighting in on you. You know, it's like... You know, his plans were always cockamamie, and he just has that typical comedic evil mad scientist or bad guy in a cartoon persona.
It's the 80s. Can you expect any better?
No, exactly. I mean, he
can't. You think of any 80s cartoon villain that wasn't like that.
Him and Cobra Commander were about equal.
Yes, they were about equal.
Yeah, they were. But look at Shredder.
Yeah. Rest in peace, James Avery, by the way, who passed away this past week. But, you know.
I assume he was the voice of Splinter?
No, he was the voice of Shredder.
Shredder.
TMNT.
Yeah, that's what. I'm not a TMNT guy, if you can tell. Yeah. I liked it as a kid, but
I'm not either. But I knew enough to know that they're all the same.
Yeah.
You know, let's launch this goofy plan to get whatever you want, and it's gonna fail miserably. And in the meantime, you're the comic relief.
Yeah. It's like he hatches this ingenious plan, which inevitably blows up in his face, and he looks like a total moron. But he looks like a total moron because his henchmen are total goof-offs, and their screw-up is highlighted over him. You know, it's like Starscream foiled so many of Megatron's plans. And it made it look like that Starscream was the biggest goof-off that there ever was. But honestly, Megatron was the biggest idiot in the first place because he put Starscream in charge of this thing. You know, it's like, you know, if you had any sort of brains whatsoever, you would have put Soundwave or Shockwave in charge of something, you know. But no, he put Starscream in charge of something, and there you go. But, Megamus, are you still with us?
I'm here.
Oh, and on the other hand, animated Megatron killed Starscream in the first season.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, Megatron... Them inducting two different Megatrons in there makes more sense than just lumping all the characters under one name. RC...
Well, I mean, especially the Generation 1 and Beast Wars, because they actually were two different Megatrons.
Yeah. Well, the G1 RC and the Prime RC. Me personally, I love both of those characters. I think both of those characters are phenomenal. And they both deserve to be in there. But it should be differentiated G1 RC and Prime RC, not RC. You know, yeah. not just
generally. You should do it by series and to make it
yeah,
stand
that's
out
like,
more.
That's like Animated Ratchet compared to G1 Ratchet. I mean, Animated Ratchet is a totally different character.
Yeah.
And a great character. But, which, you know, the two of them shouldn't be considered the same.
He was inducted in 2011, and yeah. And from my recollection in the 2011 induction, most of the clips showed Ratchet from G1 and Ratchet from the movies, simply because Michael mm-hmm. Bay was there. You know, it's like, you know, they wanted to
what
to
do show you freaking off. Do?
Yeah, and as well as Ironhide, there was a lot of Ironhide from the movie in there.
Yeah.
I'll give him Ironhide for the movie. I liked him.
Yeah, he's just a lot of the movie characters outside of Prime are so Prime and Bumblebee. Bumblebee had character, even though he didn't do a lot of talking.
Yeah, it's a big yellow puppy dog.
Yeah, but the other characters were just so damn generic to me personally.
That's because they only got to have two lines every movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't. That's a
good valid point.
They did not develop them. They would have been better.
At least you knew one thing about Ironhide compared to the rest of them in the movie, and that is he was a badass.
Oh shit.
Yeah. you have one person saying arse and the other person saying shit. One person trying not to cuss and the other one cussing. It's like, you know, let's fuck this, you know. Well, I believe
we already have the explicit tag. Whatever, I don't care anymore.
Anybody else have anything they want to add about the Hall of Fame induction for the robots before we close?
I'm gonna put my soapbox away.
Okay, Iron Unicron. What about you?
No, I never really got that much into it. I think it's cool. I think maybe they do a few too many per year. I think maybe if they did a few less characters, maybe it'd have more of an impact or an emphasis on it than inducting 5 or 10 per year, whatever they do, 5 and 5 or however they do it.
I think it's generally three nominated and one fan induction is what they generally do.
We've got, like, what, almost 1,000, over 1,000 characters? I think we're okay.
Yeah, well, you know, we got to give future generations something to do.
See, that's what I'm saying, though.
God.
If you know, early on, if the Generation 1 characters, you know, once the main characters from Generation 1 have been added into the Hall of Fame that genuinely deserve to be in there, then the fandom and the people nominating these characters need to move on to the other generations. You know, I mean, we've already got Waspinator and Beast Wars Megatron in there. You know,
And Dinobot.
You know, but, you know, down the road, we need to look at Rhinox. You know, Rat-tron. Those were, those characters.
Sideburn, of course.
Yeah, those characters were actually developed, and they need to be highlighted.
Actually, I would say, R.I.D., I would say Scourge.
Well, if they're going to Scourge, he's a killer, man.
Yeah.
If they want to put human characters, you can always put a, what was that little kid, Kicker?
Kicker.
I had to think of his name.
God, I hated Kicker.
Yeah, while we're putting Kicker in there, we'll put Carlos, too.
Oh, no!
Let's throw in Ironhide. Let's throw in Energon Ironhide just to help off the deal.
What about Raul?
Oh, God. Hey, Raul was awesome.
Yeah.
So there.
Hey, man. I like
Raul. And we'll throw Raph in.
Oh, I like Raph.
Raph is adorable.
Raph needs to get stepped on.
I'm probably going to get hated on a lot for this, too. But I loved, what's her name from Prime?
Sorry.
No, from Prime. Not sorry.
Miko,
yeah.
Miko?
Yeah, I loved her character. I thought
she was pretty cool. She was pretty cool. Not totally awesome, but pretty cool.
I mean, she
was totally awesome.
She was more tolerable than any of the kids from the Armada trilogy, in my opinion.
She was all right because
she was retarded. But granted, we would all be doing the same exact stuff that she would be doing if we suddenly got thrust in the Transformers world.
Yeah. I liked her because she was sorry. Take two.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, you know what I miss about the Hall of Fame?
What?
You remember Duran 2010, or I guess any of you, when they did the montages of the characters with, like, actual songs?
Yes.
I miss that.
Yes.
Because they're not doing that anymore. I think probably because of copyright issues, probably because they don't want to pay for the licensing for the to use the songs.
Well, it's like in 2012, they did, for Grimlock, they did Was Not Was.
Godzilla.
No, Was Not Was was Walk, oh, the, yeah, Walk the Dinosaur.
Right.
Boom, boom. The boom, boom. Yeah.
Yeah. The sound wave to I Love Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
That one, those ones are my favorite, because, like, that was, like, you know, we were, like, rocking. I remember we were, like, rocking out of the table.
Well, the whole room was buzzing whenever they was going through.
I know. It was awesome.
That's what it made it fun, and that's why, when we were talking about before, whenever they just pretty much had it part of the Hasbro panel in last year in 2013, I'm really disappointed with that, you know?
Yeah, I was a little bummed out that wasn't, but then it was, like, It was part of the Hasbro panel, like, oh, we're gonna induct the characters, but then they couldn't, like, the video feed wasn't working at the Hasbro panel, so they were just like, oh, whatever, we'll show you later. And so they ended up showing the video feeds for the characters during the dinner, and it wasn't as special then. It also didn't have the copyrighted songs either.
Yeah.
Which is the part that I really liked from 2010. I really liked that. I miss that. I really wish they'd bring that back.
I don't know the actual story behind it, and I would love to find out, but I suspect it had a lot to do with budget cuts. You know, just trying to save a buck is what it was.
Yeah, it's probably because they didn't want to pay for the copyright to use the song.
Yeah.
That's what I'm assuming, and that sucks, but hey, okay.
Yeah.
They're not as personal. The videos aren't as personal when you use their own music.
Well, personally, I think there's a huge disconnect, and this is one thing. If we ever get to talk to Pete Sinclair about it, I'm sure we can't actually discuss this actual topic. But there is a huge disconnect between Hasbro and the fans, and also FunPub. And the fans. FunPub should be the intermediary between the fans and Hasbro. FunPub, you know, as the fans, as the collector's club, FunPub should be, you know, have their hands on the pulse of the fandom and know exactly what the fandom loves and wants and feed us that. Because that's what they're there for.
But they should be going to Hasbro saying, "This is what the fans want. How are you gonna accommodate us?
How are you gonna accommodate us? And how can we?
Not this is we what we want to do for the fans. And every year we cross our fingers and hope it's something interesting.
And there's been so many PR disasters and a lot of accounts of BotCon or FunPub saying, you know what, you know. We're just not going to handle this the way the fans appreciate, and it kind of has me worried, you know. But I'm not saying that I hate FunPub. I disagree with a lot of what they've done, but you know, I believe it's just there because there's a disconnect between the fans and FunPub, and then FunPub and Hasbro, because you know, with the whole Generation Thundercracker ordeal. And then you got this chasm between the fans and Hasbro. I mean, yeah, Hasbro does put out some things that the fans want, and a lot of Generations characters stem from that. But you know, if Hasbro had really had their hands on the pulse of the fandom, you know, like what we were talking about last Friday on the podcast. You know, they could communicate to Takara and say, hey, let's crank out as many of these reissues as we can, you know.
We do have one feed, technically. Eric Siebenhaler likes reading forum posts quite frequently. So he's like, as far as I know, though, he is our only feed into Hasbro.
Yeah.
And even then, he just like lurks and reads. I don't think he ever actually posts.
Yeah. And I do want to make it more clear. you know, by saying the disconnect between the fans and everything, I'm by no means knocking Hasbro or knocking the knocking FunPub or anything. I'm just saying that there's a problem here that needs to be addressed, and we as fans need to. And I say this in a way that is difficult for our fandom because we all know how our fandom can be. But we need to grow up whenever we're talking about these issues because we are adults for the most part as collectors. We are adults. We need to conduct ourselves adults when we're trying to convey things to Hasbro and FunPub and everything. And likewise, they need to reciprocate things, you know, and do things in a more professional manner other than, you know, than coming across as just being fly by night. You know, and quite frankly, a lot of things has been done in a fly-by-night manner. And I'm saying that all parties, not just the fans, not just FunPub, and not just Hasbro, all parties have an issue. And the biggest issue as a fan, whenever I look at other fans, is there's a lot of fans out there that, quite frankly, every time I see one of their posts on a forum, I'm doing a facepalm. Because it's like, oh my God. You know, Hasbro and Takara and FunPub, they see this stuff. Do you really want to represent us as a fandom by posting this garbage? You know, what do you guys think?
The fandom as a whole is... I mean, the biggest problem, unfortunately, that we're running into here, that I believe that I see quite often, is the majority of the vocal fandom that's posting on message boards and that's posting to Hasbro or writing letters to Hasbro or what have you are generally the more irritated fans, are the ones, you know, in almost every fandom I've ever been in, the loudest fandom is the one that complains all the time, or is the one that is childish.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's like if you go to Walmart and you buy a product, and you come home and it's good, you don't think about it. You know, you're happy with it. You go to Walmart, you buy a product, you come home, and it's garbage. You get angry, and you're going to go to every outlet you can to let everyone know it's garbage. And so that's just the difference between, you know, pleased fans and displeased fans, is the displeased fans are going to be more vocal because they aren't pleased.
Well, and because, you also get the
which is irritating.
You also get the fact that a lot of fans don't have that brain and keyboard filter, and they think, well, I'm this faceless entity behind the internet. Nobody knows who I am. So whenever I post something as Joe Blow X on message board Y, you know, nobody knows who I am. So what does it matter what I say? I can say things in a totally unprofessional, uncouth way and come across as, quite frankly, a utter douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there is what I have the biggest problem
with. Well, and that's why people wonder why, you know, Google is making you use a Google Plus account for YouTube.
Yeah, because it's brings because a lot of accountability to what people say. You know, if people know who you are, and no, and you know, quite frankly, I have met people at BotCons personally that I have seen their posts on forums, and I remember thinking, you know, this person is a total douche. And then I meet them at BotCon, and they are a totally awesome person.
Mm-hmm.
They're so nice, and it's like, you know, I don't tell them I thought they were a douche. You know, I mean, it's like, yeah, you know, it's like that. But, you know, you meet them and you're like, you know, why don't you act like this on the forums? Why don't you voice yourself like this on the forums? You know, I would love to have a discourse with you if you talk like this on the forums. But the way you talk like this on forums or in chat forums, you know, I don't want to talk to you the way you talk on the forums. And I wonder if a lot of people realize that. That's part of the fan disconnect.
Well, if we had the power to take away the anonymity of the internet, I'm sure it would have happened already.
Yeah.
Well, that would be nice, but, you know.
And you know, that's part of, like right under here. You know, I know everybody on message boards knows me as Weird Wolf. But, you know, right next to it, right here, my name is Daron Land. You know, I'm not hiding behind my username. You know, if what I come, and whenever I come on this podcast and I say things, I'm not hiding behind the username Weird Wolf. I am Daron Land. These are my opinions. And, you know, and I stand by them. You know, you are free to totally disagree with what I say.
And I am Michael Swift, and these are the days of my life.
Yes, and you know, and if you don't want people to know your real name for other reasons, that's totally cool. But you know, when we on this podcast are people who are in a public view. People view us on this podcast, and you know, whenever we go to a show, to a convention, and people see us and recognize us, they're not going to say, you know, you're a total douchebag, or they may think you're a total we're a total douchebag, you know. But you know, they at least can confront us on a personal basis. You know, I'm not going to hide behind
it's
my
not
username.
Too personal.
Yeah, I'm not going to hide behind my username. And you know, whenever I and now because of this podcast, whenever I post on forums, you know, anything I say is not going to be hidden behind that username, because they can always just search out TFYLP and see I am Daron Land and see who I am and hear me. You know, yes, I am I talk like a backwoods hick. You know, I'm from Kentucky. This is who I am. You know, you don't like how I talk, that's your problem, not mine. You know, I am who I am. I'm from Kentucky, but I was raised in a swamp in South Florida. You know, so I'm, you know, I've got all kinds of.
How the hell did we get on this discussion?
Well, we're talking.
You jumped on his soapbox.
It's yeah. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
what
I did.
The hell are
I
we?
Did jump on my soapbox, but I think it's relevant because we're talking about, you know, going from the Hall of Fame, and then we went to, you know, the disconnect between, you know, why the Hall of Fame malfunctioned in 2013, or basically went from something important downhill to something that is unimportant. You know,
great. We're on a downhill spiral. This is great.
Well, and then we talk. And you know, a lot of fans who are listening may not realize this is how we got on this subject. But you know, we go from something important on the Hall of Fame to something that is unimportant in the Hall of Fame, and why it got that way. And it's because of the disconnect between each of the three entities, the fans, FunPub, and Hasbro. And
the fans being whiny douchebags.
Yeah, well, we, you know, I can't speak for Hasbro. I cannot speak for FunPub. You know, I can only speak for them from what I see online. And I can't speak for them, you know, from any way that is official, and you know, this is why they do that. But as a fan, I can represent myself, and that's how we got to this discussion. You know, you Amber, you can defend yourself, and as Michael and Brandon and Megamus, you know, you can defend ourselves because we're visible. You know, we are the fandom. You got to remember that whenever you're posting on these forums, you are the fandom.
Getting a lecture here.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I feel like I'm getting a scolding lecture for doing something wrong.
No, I mean, well, go to any message.
No, dude, I totally understand what you mean, but yeah. I think you need to put away the soapbox.
Well, this is part of discussion. You know, and this is what we're here for. We are a podcast, and people are going to listen to this podcast, and this is something that will move people to want to discuss it, and want to be involved and set us apart. You know, we can come on here and talk about toys all the time, but this is part of our fandom, and this is why we are here. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and get off my soapbox because we've kind of went over. But I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. And we've said things that will make you think and make you understand things a bit more clearly and see things in a different light. Next time you go to a message board, check these things out.
Just this is pretty new news. I don't mean to interrupt, but I just went on and apparently there's some Age of Extinction listings in Walmart.com.
Oh, really?
Already?
Yeah, for there's some size class called Sparkers. I don't know what that is. They got
Sparkabots, Firecons.
It's either Dino or it's Dino. This looks like the deluxe price point. They have it listed at $12.96. They got Dino, Optimus Prime and Grimlock, Wolf and Lockdown, Slug and Drift, Scorn and Crosshairs, Bumblebee and Strafe, and Slash and Hound.
Yay, Drift! Oh my god, Hound, yay!
They got leader class figures, Optimus Prime and Grimlock. I don't know, Titans seems weird. Titans is, apparently they're renaming the Cyberverse Commander to Titans. So this is like a $10 price point as Optimus, Bumblebee, and Lockdown.
Yay!
Then they got something called One Step. This is also a $10 price point. I assume this is for like the really simplified stuff. We got a Lockdown and someone called Wolf. Constructbots, Dinobots, Slug. And then some unmarked class of Drift is the character.
What's are we going to see some movie Weird Wolf toys, Duran?
Yes! Movie Weird Wolf. I'm all for it. What's the source on that, Michael?
That was Sabertron.
Okay.
That's what I was on.
Give credit where credit is due. Well, I know we've went a little bit longer than we intended, but we hope that you've enjoyed this episode of Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. Hope that we've said things that might be provocative and overall interesting. Anybody have anything closing else before we go? Megamus, Brandon?
No.
Cool. Check out our friends over at Radio Free Cybertron. I want to give them a plug. They broadcast every Wednesday, and then also they're on tfradio.net, I believe is the website, and they have a whole big slew of things. We try to broadcast on Tuesdays and Fridays. I know they're on Wednesdays, so whenever you're not listening to us, check out Radio Free Cybertron, and they're a great bunch of guys. Also, check out megatoyfan.com and check out Megamus's booth whenever check him out at cons. And also, Plasticon Reviews. He's got some new reviews up just about every week, and it's always fun and interesting reviews on that site. TFTalk.net is our website, and this is TFYLP. I am Weird Wolf along with Sideburn 2.
Burning herself again.
Mariah baby burning herself. I am Unicron. And Megamus.
Ow, 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 ow. I'm feeling her pain.
Thank you all for joining us, and this has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 78. We'll see you next Friday, or this coming Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern for another Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. We'll see you next time.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, And on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.